The psalmist in Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. Two oaths of allegiance. Two loyalties to which you and I pledge ourselves, God and country. The phrase Christian citizen summarizes exactly who we are and what our commitment is. We are Christians. We pledge ourselves to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be faithful and to be true to that cross above everything else. No other loyalty will interfere with that commitment. Peter and John said before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 5, we must obey God rather than men. But then again, we pledge ourselves as citizens to a nation. You probably could tell I like patriotic occasions. There just seems to be something right about the very experience and the moment. We sing, we pray, we pledge ourselves, if not verbally, at least in heart. It all, to me, is very uplifting. As Christians, you and I and our heritage is deeply rooted in our commitment to country. And what I want to ask today is this: is our country equally committed to us? Let's ask a question. Because you and I and our heritage has been fundamental in our nation, what has that heritage been? Well, we can go back to the very beginning of our country and reflect on the fact that our nation was founded upon Christian theism. Everyone wasn't a Christian, but there was a theistic view, an atmosphere of God thought, an attitude of belief that existed. The Englishmen who settled Virginia had a charter from the crown. And in that charter, there read one purpose that they had for settling Virginia. Quote, to extend the blessings of the Christian religion to the natives of the land. We need to ask ourselves sometimes, have we been faithful to that charter? As we think about the natives of the land, the American Indians,
You talk about people, those who've come up short.
Have we been faithful, not just in providing substance for them, but the gospel? Where are the Indians of Alabama, the Choctaws and the Chickasaws and the Creeks and the Cherokees? Do you know that there is an Indian tribe in the state of Texas? Do you know the name of it? It's called the Alabama Indians. Because they came from Alabama. And we need to ask ourselves, as far as just the natives of the land, talk about missionary activity, talk about our international student ministry, talk about world missions. We still have a mission, don't we? To just those native Americans. Did you know that the Mayflower opens with the statement, "In the name of God, amen." That's it. The Dutch who settled New York and New Jersey, for whatever you think and whatever association you have with Newark and New York and those mega cities, the men and women who settled those states were devoted to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. William Penn, the founder of Pennsylvania, said that if men will not be governed by God, they will be governed by tyrants. Did you know that in the talk about the Revolutionary War, in the Piedmont region of North Carolina and South Carolina, that almost the entire Revolutionary Colonial Army was officered by Presbyterian elders? What I am saying is that there was an atmosphere in a nation, an atmosphere of theistic commitment, and that commitment to the God of the Bible. There was a biblical consensus of morality that everyone seemed to have. Abortion would have been unthinkable. Pornography would have been unconscionable. I can go on. Friends, the Declaration of Independence breathes with a recognition of the God of the Bible, the God of the universe. The Constitutional Convention, things were not going well. There were arguments, there were divisions, and Benjamin Franklin stood up and he said, "Gentlemen, if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without the Father, are we to think that an empire can arise without his aid?" And Ben Franklin made the motion, "I move that every day in convention we open in prayer." And so Congress to this day is always opened in prayer. There was an atmosphere of faith, of belief, of dependency upon God. Some say that the Constitution of our nation is a neutral document. That is, that it doesn't really contain particular theistic statements or particularly references to the Christian religion. Let me tell you this. The Constitution says that if after 10 days the president has not signed a law into effect, that law will become automatically into effect. But the interesting thing is that the Constitution counts 10 days except on Sunday. Because it was assumed by our forefathers who wrote the Constitution that the Sunday was the Lord's day and no official business would be conducted on the Lord's day. Well, consider the conclusion of the Constitution. It says and I quote, done in convention by the unanimous consent of the states, represented this 17th day of September in the year of our Lord. That is as explicit as one could make it. The tradition of Christian theism is throughout our nation, its history, and throughout the institutions of our country. The military chaplaincy, Thanksgiving Day, which we observe, special days of prayer that are signed, the federal courts being opened in our nation by God Save the United States of America and this honorable court. We have on our coins, "In God We Trust," and we just sang the national anthem that explicitly puts our faith and our trust in God. This is our tradition. This is the root, the source of a nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That is the promise. And as we look back, we can see this way God has blessed and that way God has blessed and protected and provided and blessed and poured out His bounty upon this country. Sometimes we ought to stop and think, Christian, what's gone wrong? There is a musical presentation that is presented today entitled, "America, You're Too Young to Die." What's happening? What's happening? In 1962, certain rulings were made on prayer, on Bible reading, on the posting of the Ten Commandments beginning in 1962 throughout the day, today by the Supreme Court of this nation. The Supreme Court has essentially undermined and has removed a theistic basis for this nation. At least that is the tendency. In 1958, when the state of Florida had a rule that the Bible must be read in every public school classroom beginning the day. And it was appealed to the Supreme Court of Florida, and the state Supreme Court ruled in favor of maintaining Bible reading in the public schools. And the statement of the justices was this: "It is ludicrous to think that we can remove God from the fabric of our nation without undercutting the nation itself." Those were wise men. But you think of some of the rulings that have been made in Bible reading, and our school in Kentucky can't post the Ten Commandments in its classroom, and schools in Nevada and in other places are closed Christian schools. And they appeal to the First Amendment, the Supreme Court does, and they say that there must be a separation between church and state. The First Amendment says, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." There are places in Atlanta, Georgia, and in New England and institutions and universities in America where you have to get a permit if you can get one to teach the Bible in a neighborhood. When the Supreme Court made their rulings and their ruling on Bible reading and prayer, they had not done their historical research into the background of this First Amendment. The background was that England was a state church, Virginia was a state church, and the First Amendment was to prevent a government from establishing a particular church. It was understood that religion and government go together somehow. Maybe not church and state, but it is ludicrous to think you can separate government from God. Potter Stewart saw the danger in the amendment to the Supreme Court decisions, and he said this, and it was prophetic what he said in his decision, in his minority decision. He said that what the Supreme Court had done was to rule out for the schools of America any recognition of God and religion, and he charged the court majority with a virtual violation of the First Amendment. He had the idea. He knew the roots of the nation. He knew that the Supreme Court was violating the First Amendment, and not some teacher who is reading the Bible in her classroom. What has happened to a nation? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. There has been a failure to recognize secular humanism as a religion. Christianity is being replaced by seemingly a religion promoted to teach atheism. That is the trend. That is what's happening. What can you and I do? How should you and I act and react in our nation to help refocus? Well, I'm not telling you how to vote. I've talked to different folk who were yellow dog Democrats and some who were equally so on the Republican side. I'm not telling you how you should come out, but I am saying this, that it is time for you, Christian, to take a stand. And if you don't at least exercise your privilege of citizenship, you deserve what's happening. All it takes for a nation to deteriorate is for a few good people to do nothing. Are you involved in your community? Are you involved in your church? Are you involved in the community groups, action groups, citizens against pornography in Etowah County and Gadsden? Are you involved in your parent-teacher association in your local school? Are you involved somehow in the city council in just knowing what is going on in the city? Then you can get involved, and it's time for you and me to say no further. We have to plant our feet and we have to say something must be done. You can write your senator. You can write your congressman. You can do something. and you can pray for national awakening. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I forgive their sin and I will heal their land. You love America, don't you? You don't even have to be an American to love America. I've traveled in 12 countries. I have traveled in most of the United States, and there's nothing quite like this. Well, political activism is not going to save a nation. But when you raise the standard of Jesus Christ and you say, this is my loyalty and this is that to which I pledge my life, my honor, and my substance. When you begin to pray and to live a life that is good and godly, and you impact your community and nation, the nation itself will know what is happening. It is going on all around us. Some people, some Christians are doing something. There is only one sure and certain hope. Why has God blessed us? Is it because we're proud? Is it because of a strong military? Is it because of the prosperity of our land? There's only one reason. And that reason is because Jesus Christ has been preached and been taught and been lived, and the Christians have outlived and outthought and outdied everybody else. England, 4% of the people go to church. France, predominantly atheistic. Germany, Austria, Switzerland, you can name all the Western countries. What's happened to them? The gospel is no longer first. America, you're too young to die. Let us lift the gospel, the cross of Jesus Christ, and let us preach that and teach that. Until our nation indeed is one nation under God.